If I'm going to try to address many of the questions that were sent in, try to focus on most of the repetitive questions and try to get to everything. If anyone has any other questions, I guess at the end we can unmute and address those specific questions. I think that's the best mahalach. I'd like to begin, if we could just unmute, if we could just mute now, I think that would be helpful. And anyone who has any questions, is that me?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who it's coming from.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, it stopped. So, I think the most important point tonight, before we get to the details about Halachas Pesach, is to focus on the following. This is going to be a different type of Pesach. Not only because we are staying at home and we are going to be very careful, like many of the doctors have presented, and we don't know what we're dealing with, and we have to be extra cautious. But it's also a Pesach of an opportunity. It's a Pesach of an opportunity to host Pesach. Many of us have not had the opportunity to host Pesach. Pesach is something that is crucial for the rest of the year. It's something that really has the ability to instill emuna into ourselves, but more important, it's Hatzlacha in Chinuch HaBonim. I think, and this is the most important thing that I'm going to say, instead of all of the aggravation and frustration and struggling with the hachanas, which we'll go through, which will not be too cumbersome, and Emir Tzashem, we will be able to deal with all of those questions. We should allocate more time on hachanas about making this Pesach special. This Pesach is found in a time that it's clear outside what the Pasuk says, Leman tisaper ba'oz e'nei bidcha, Asher ha-salalti be'eretz Mitzrayim. I made a joke in Mitzrayim. I took what they thought was their koyach, was their teva, what they thought was natural order, and I flipped it around. This is a zman to focus on that aspect. We see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Yad Hashem, in our day-to-day lives. We're taking the correct precautions and the correct approach by protecting ourselves physically in our bias. But Rabbosai, we need to also understand that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we need to instill and take advantage spiritually in the protection for the rest of the year of the emuna that we have to inculcate and to instill into our children on the Yontif of Pesach. Now that requires creativity. That requires time and effort. And I would even tell you, take time from your cleaning that you otherwise would be focused on cleaning, and allocate that time to hachanas, to the emuna project of this Leila Seder. That is more important than anything else we are going to talk about tonight, is to focus on what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is communicating to all of us, that I am the controller of the world, and I am the Bayrei Olam, I am the Manig, and that is the night that we instill and that we have Hatzlacha in the mitzvah of Emuna that spills over to the rest of the year. It's the night, the Leil HaShimurim of Emuna. So we need to make sure that we're creative, that we have ideas, that we're now in our own style, in our own way. We are going to present the Seder, we are going to present these ideas, these fundamental yesodos of Emuna to our children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this opportunity to do it our way. Anyone could come up with games, ideas, projects during the Seder to gidei sheyishalu atinokos, to make sure that kids are involved. That is what this Pesach is going to need. It's going to need more creativity. The Chol HaMoed trips are going to need more creativity. You know, I saw jokes that we're reserving going onto the porch for Chol HaMoed. You know, but it's true. You have to figure out a way to make sure to balance being safe, but also making sure that the children are besimcha and getting everything from the reservoir, the Leil HaShimurim, the reservoir that a Pesach has, especially in this time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us what we need to work on and what we need to recognize, where the Yad Hashem is 100% clear. Another point that I would like to focus, that I think again is very important, is not to, it's true in terms of halacha, We do have a concept, and as I'm going to focus and probably repeat throughout the shir, this is a matzav that's a bidyevin matzav. This is a situation that we have to deal, and we have to rely on kulas. And in halacha, there are situations like this. I was telling someone, a Rav yesterday who spoke to me, I said, I've never seen sugyas in Shas Mamish coming alive like things you would never imagine, like from the 1800s. But that's the concept. Shas Adchak Kidieved Dami is that when you're in a Shas Adchak and we're in a Deichik, so then we rely on Bidieved, on Bidieved Matzavim. But in that being said, and even if we're going to approach that on certain levels, we need to remember that there is only one Chag HaPesach Tov Shidin Pei. There's only one Yontif of Pesach that we all remember as kids, that our children were 11 for, that our children are 7 for, that our children are 5 for. And that's going to make a difference. And therefore, we have to make it as lichatchila as possible when it comes to our children. There is no concept of bidyeved. I've spoken about it many times. There is no concept of relying on bidyeved in the world of chinuch. This is what something that the Maharal speaks about, something that the Meshech Chochma speaks about. We don't rely on the regular klolim of halacha when it comes to chinuch. So if that's the case, Rabosai, just from a simple halachic cheshbon, even though we're going to rely on certain halachas when it comes to chametz, when it comes to the isurim, when it comes to treif, but when it comes to chinuch, we're not going to rely on those things. And we're going to become more creative. And we're going to make sure that there's going to be excitement. And that's why, that's where we're going to focus our time in. There's a story of the Chiddush HaRim. The Chiddush HaRim says over that there was a guy who was so nervous about losing this horse that he spent millions of dollars to purchase. And he was maimed a shomer. He made sure, he bought a whole big stable to make sure to lock it up very well. And then he hired a shomer to make sure to guard it, to make sure that no one should come and no one should steal, chas v'shalom, the horse. And he came and he couldn't sleep at night. The balabas came every night and he came to the shomer and he says, what are you thinking about? What are you involved in? And the shomer says, you know, I'm just thinking about different topics. I'm trying to keep myself awake and make sure that I don't fall asleep so I do my job correctly. And the balabas went home. He was happy that he was philosophizing and he wasn't going to go to sleep. But the balabas continued he couldn't fall asleep. So the balabas came back and he says, what are you thinking about now? So the shomer says, I'm thinking about how a guy could spend all of his money and spend all of his time to make sure that his horse is not going to get stolen and build a stable and get a shomer and put on all this money and all this investment. And he's not even going to be able to enjoy it. He's not even going to be able to reap the benefits because he's coming back and his horse is going to get stolen anyways. So the mashal, the Chiddush HaRim says, is sometimes we put so much physical energy in all these other things and we miss the boat of what the ikar is and what the yesod is. So we have to make sure this year when it's leman tisaper ba'azne bincha, the message is clear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu about how Yad Hashem is what's governing and controlling this world. That's definitely something in this Leil HaShimurim that we want to focus our energies and make sure that this Pesach is l'chadchila shebelechadchila in terms of the experience that our children who are going to only have this one opportunity in their lives for this Pesach to be a beautiful, beautiful yontif. So again, I encourage everyone to take time out of their day to think of ideas and share it. Share it on the WhatsApp groups. Share it on the email. Share it with friends about different ideas that we can make this Pesach into a matzav of simcha, into a matzav of chadchila when it comes to our batim, which is what the yisod of Pesach is all about. The al yetze ish bimkomo, that a person cannot leave the bias when it comes to eating the Karban Pesach and the Dama Pesach was placed on the doorways because that's what we're trying to build on this Leil HaSeder. Okay, so in terms of just a few announcements for things that are up and coming. So we worked on, I sent an email yesterday and we've been working on this option. I know many people were a little surprised of how things developed that weren't planning on making Pesach prior to a few weeks ago. And there's been some last-minute changes and last-minute plans. So I do know that many people have contacted me that they've been getting a lot of kalim. So I'm not saying whether or not you have to go to the mikvah or not, whether you don't have to go to the mikvah. I definitely recognize that there is concern, and there is concern going into specifically the kalim mikvah because it's an enclosed area. And there are some doctors that recommended perhaps not to use the Kelim Mikvah for the time being. For those people that are concerned, so we are, Mirtz Hashem, going to send out soon a link that those who want to can sign on all of their details about the Kelim that they bought and the approximate value. You'll fill it out. And it's going to be a Google Doc. It's going to be very simple. And there will be a Kinyan in Mirtz Hashem this Friday by Matt Rivera. And he's going to buy the Kalim. Hopefully, if those that order, we're hopefully going to do another Kinyan a few days later and another Kinyan after that in Mirtz Hashem. So I will send that once we finalize after this year. I'm going just to read it over, and then we're going to send it out for those that want to use that shtar. Again, this is a Shas Adchak. We don't usually rely on this, but Shas Adchak k'dievedami, and there is a concern. So if a person is concerned, then they will have the ability to use that, and there will be a Kinyan Kesef and a Kinyan Situmta on that shtar for the Kalim that are bought that are new. The Kalim that are bought that are new, you just have to make sure to do Tfilas Kalim. There is no Hechsher that is necessary to be done. If anyone did not see the videos, I'm not going to talk so much about Hechsher Kalim, because a lot of it was on the videos. I'm just trying to give a little bit of detail so people understand a little bit more. And any of the vessels that we didn't put on the video, because it was just going to be too many things to discuss. So I will try to discuss those things. In terms of the Mechiras Chametz, so I sent out my regular shtar, but because I realized afterwards that it's going to be easier if we just put it into a format of a Google form. So we're going to change that and going to do a Google spreadsheet just like we're doing with the Tfilas Kalim. So if anyone has filled out the shtar, just if you could possibly wait and hold off until we have the Google form for the Mechiras Chametz, so we don't have to deal with paper or emails this year. And it's very simple how the guy can get the information from the Mechiras Chametz. Okay, so now in terms of cleaning, the halacha is every year that you only are required to clean makom shemachnisim bo chametz. Yes, it's true. There are more areas that it's a makom shemachnisim bo chametz when it comes to having children around, but that does not mean every area. And it does not mean areas, and I'm sure you've heard this from many of Rabbanim, it does not mean areas that are hard to get to. So therefore, if it's stuck and you can't move a major item and it's very difficult, so then again, that you know, it's okay. It's not going to be what Chazal were concerned that maybe I'm going to find it on Pesach and I'm going to chas v'shalom forget and come to eat it. You're not going to approach such chametz. So therefore, I think that a person needs to do a basic cleaning and again focus his energies on the chinuch of Pesach this year. And anything that's too crazy, you do not have to do. Toys and areas with toys that the question came up. I think yesh v'yesh. I think there's a chiluk of areas with toys. There's areas with toys that the kids run off to during the meal. That the kids come and bring their and bring challah sometimes from the suda to that area. And then there's areas that we have rules that we don't allow the kids to go to, and that the presumption is that there's not going to be chametz there. So I think that's going to be the ikker areas that, number one, need a cleaning, and the other areas do not. And that also is the same idea where the bedikas chametz is. Bedikas is required. Bedikas chametz is a continuation of the cleaning process. Shlomo Zalman used to say that bedikas chametz is ensuring that the cleaning that I did was actually cleaned. So it's not a steer if I clean before Pesach. So therefore, I'm going to clean those areas. I'm going to check those areas that were makom shemachnis and bochametz, that there is a chshash, and I'm going to make sure and attest to the fact that it's actually clean and it's all okay. But again, especially this year, don't make yourself crazy and focus and become, you know, depleted, have no energy coming Pesach because I focused all on that and I had no time to have creativity and to have ideas for the kids and the family for Pesach. In terms of questions regarding where I can leave my things. So Chazal tell us that when it comes to items that I sell and chametz that the guy is going to leave in my house, so I'm not over Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh means that there's not only an Isser to eat chametz, but there's an iser to own any chametz or to take achrayis. I can't take responsibility for someone else's chametz. Those are all issues of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. But let's say there's an item that I sold to the guy, but I left. He gave me permission to leave it in my house, or you know, and those areas are designated to him. So I have to make sure to be oise a mechitza. I have to make sure to make a partition, and that's what's said in Chazal, to make sure that it's not going to be an area that I'm going to easily get to and going to chas v'sholom eat. So the question is often arises that we don't really have these mechitzas. So what do? We set up compartments. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that if it's clear that you're not going to go into that area, again, you have to leave many reminders. Mr. Brewer writes that if you just leave a sheet that I can duck under and I can lift, so then that's going to be a problem with the mechitza. So it has to be an area that is designated. And the fact that it's technically not a mechitza, I think a person has the right to rely if he makes a separate section. So people ask me, they're going to have fridges and freezers. If a person has a fridge and freezer and they lock up and they tape up that fridge and freezer that it's clear that no one's going to go into, so that's the best. Adarabba, that's better than a mechitza. It's mamish, it's a big kli on its own, so it's better than a mechitza. But let's say you have a situation where many people this year have, that you have an extra fridge, and I'm going to leave some areas of some chametz in those areas, and I'm not going to have a mechitza technically there. So I think what you should do is you should designate, you know, compartments. You should make that this draw is where the chametz is going to be, and you're going to tape up a few times that area so that it's going to be clear that that's going to be closed off for Pesach. So even if I want to use another section of that fridge, so I could still use it as long as it's clear that I'm not going to go into that area. Okay. Other things before Pesach that question came up, a few questions came up. In terms of milk, in terms of eggs, the practice is to try and buy milk and eggs before Pesach, so you don't have to rely on any bittel. There is a shaila of bittel when it comes to milk and eggs. It's a chumra, but if you can try and buy the milk and eggs before Pesach, so then that is preferable, and that is what you should do. In terms of meats and chickens and fish, so I got a fascinating shaila about fish. I didn't even know this, that apparently some of the fish is when it's filleted, some of the fish companies now, they put back some of the fish in order to add more weight to the fish. We were discussing this morning, and some of it has kidneys inside of it. But Lamaisa, the assumption is by all of our fish and meats that are not, have no additives and are totally the raw meat and fish, so that people can just wash down and use, and they don't have to be concerned, and you don't need a regular kosher lePesach. Anything that you have any shilas about that is not a clear cut item, whether it comes to vegetables that were somehow cut or adulterated or used or might have some additives, so then you have to ask a shilah. You have to know certain things are chametz, and chametz we know is not batel. And you have to know if those things were before Pesach, maybe it is batel, but that's situations where you have to ask a shaila. But if it's clear cut, it's totally raw, and there's nothing on the package that seems to be mashma, that it's there's anything that was added, so I think a person could use that without any hechsher le Pesach. In terms of the mechira on Erev Pesach, this shaila is an important shaila. There are many of you that have the minig not to sell chametz gomer on Pesach, which this year is a little bit complicated because people don't have the ability to run out to stores. People are not always accessing the stores. So I am very comfortable with people this year not, even if you usually do not sell chametz gomer, this year you can sell chametz gomer. And we can rely on the opinion of the Dogam Revava that if you're in a Shasad Chak, you do not have to be Matir Neder, and you could be Yoitze one time and once in a while to not do that Chumrah, especially if a person doesn't always keep it, so then he could. But even if he always keeps it and he's Makbid on it, if a person is concerned specifically this year, I think there's room to rely on it, and he can sell chametz gomer if he needs it around because it is a shas had chak. Okay, in terms of other items kashering that were not discussed in the videos, and let's just give a little background on kashering. Kashering, like discussed that was shown in the video, involves different procedures for different types of items. Kashering is all a function of how you use the item. If you use the item through direct contact, and something was on the fire or on a grate directly without any liquid medium, so that needs the most intense type of kashering, and that's what's called Lieben Gomer. That's relevant to frying pans, that's relevant to grills, that's relevant to griddles, that's relevant to all those types of things that you can think about that need Lieben Gomer, which is very hard to accomplish outside of a self-cleaning oven. I do not recommend anyone try to do Lieben Gomer on any of their items. I do not recommend using a frying pan or trying to kosher a frying pan because I think it possibly could affect and ruin your self-cleaning oven. That's in terms of the most severe 850, 900 degrees when it comes to Lieben Gomer that should be done only in a self-cleaning oven. Technically, if one does something in a self-cleaning oven, you don't have to wait 24 hours. Some people do in order to make it all the same, so that's fine. But that, in terms of self-cleaning oven, and technically you don't have to clean out your oven beforehand because we're assumed with a self-cleaning oven it's going to be totally cleared off before through the procedure. That does not apply to any other of the kashering procedures. Every other step of the kashering procedures that was stressed in the videos needs, and we even stressed that everything so no one confuses this, is that you need to wait 24 hours beforehand. You need to wait 24 hours in order for the kashering process to work. And then you have different options, like was stated in the videos. You can put it into either a kosher lePesach pot or an Eino Ben Yomo pot, and make sure that there's a rolling boil, and you drop that, all your silverware and whatever else you're kashering, kosos, that's kasherable, into the pot, and that's in terms of kashering. But the last thing I think that was discussed on the video was the stoves, and we discussed that you turn it on the fire and you cover up anywhere else that the pot might touch that won't be kashered through the fire, meaning outside the grates. Anyone who has a glass stove should contact me, and it's a specific procedure how to kosher that on Pesach, because glass is usually not kosherable. What was not discussed, which many of you asked, was hot water urns. Hot water urns, for the most part, for most of us, doesn't necessarily need koshering, but if you're not sure about it, so I would kosher it. For the most part, if you want to just be cheshish and kosher it, so you could just run through, fill it up with hot water and run it through, and then pour some hot water, always bubbling hot water, that is male ababus, what's called, which is what the kashering level of water, and then you pour that on the outside surface and you're good to go. If a person did use it for putting challahs on top of it, so I would kasher probably the top, the surface, where the challah was placed on, either to put it in a pot if that's possible, or to do iroy, and then kasher that, even though most of the time it probably was in a tin foil and it's not clear that it got really to Yad Soledis. So to be machmir, as I told some of you, that's what you should do for the top if there was challahs on top of it. In terms of that. In terms of a hot plate, some of you asked, that was not on the video. So the hot plate, what you should do is you should clean the hot plate, not use it for 24 hours, turn it on for an hour, let it kosher itself, cover it, and then you could use it for Pesach. As long as you use a covering that will stay, I would recommend probably two layers, because in general, like was stressed in the video, one layer of tinfoil is not really a covering. As you know, that rips, and it's recommended that you should have the thicker covering for your counters if you choose to kasher. I sent some of you the steamer option, how to use a steamer. As Rabbi Senter taught me this year, I didn't know about this. That's Rabbi Senter's chiddush, that he figured out a way that if you hold the steamer in a certain way, then hot water will come out that will be kasherable. But if you're not going to do it or you're not comfortable doing that, I would not recommend using the steamer because it's very dangerous. But if you do it, you have to do it right because it has to be with what's called Iroi Kli Rishon. It has to be flowing and very hot water, and it only works like that when it's held in that form. When you're koshering the sink, and you're koshering those areas, you have to make sure that you're getting contact of new water, and it's not, again, there's not cooled water on those surfaces. So it's very important that you do Iroi correct. Iroi means, number one, that ideally it shouldn't be nifsika kiluach, means you should have a constant flow that's going to now hit every spot. You have to be strategic. You can't just pour it in and then you're done. Chances are, if you do like that, you're not going to accomplish the Hagolah. This is very important. Hagolah on a sink could take a few times because you have to now split the sink into sections and make sure that I take care of each spot that's having an Iroi that's a constant flow on hitting on that spot. Once you hit it once, you're fine. But now you want to make sure the next section that I'm going to is going to be a dry surface that's not going to cool down the water. The water is going to be as close to bubbling like I'm taking. I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to make sure to transfer it from the fire or from the kumkum that it's on and pour it directly onto those spots. And I'm going to make sure to get every spot on contact with the flowing water. So that, again, every pot, and to make sure if I'm going to be constantly pouring, so then the bottom of the pot could already get down from the level of Hagolah, so you might have to reheat it and repeat the Hagolah process. It's not so easy to do, but it's doable, and you try your best in terms of the Iroi, in terms of koshering the sinks. In terms of the counters, if you're koshering, a similar idea is suggested there. There is a chumrah to have an even meluban, a heated stone that is red hot. We did not put it in the video, and I'm concerned about it, and I do not suggest that people do it. Although there is a chumrah, and it does make sense why people do it, but it is a tremendous hazard, and there have been people that have gotten seriously hurt from using it. So it's not recommended for us. In terms of, what else do we have over here? Medications. Medications that do not have taste are all okay. Pretty much anything that is taken for medicinal reasons and do not have taste. So Rav Meisha is of the opinion that the fact that it's nifsal and the fact that it's not roi l'achila stays and does not get changed by the fact that I'm taking it for medicinal reasons. If a person would, for some reason, ingest and eat something that is nifsal, that would not be the case if it wasn't medicinal reasons. Through the concept of achshavei, the Rosh in the second parak of Pesachim tells us that if a person eats burnt bread, even though a dog would not eat it, the fact that I like to eat it, that would be an isser for me to ingest that. However, Rav Meisha and other poskim are of the opinion that does not apply to medicines. So there is a question that often arises. So where do we place vitamins when it comes to this type of shiloh? So when it comes to vitamins, it's a machlekes poskim. Some poskim are machmir that vitamins is not medicinal, and therefore you're not allowed to take it, even if it doesn't have taste, because by the fact that I'm taking it for a non-medicinal reason, so I'm in violation of this rush, that would say that I cannot ingest something that's not roi l'achila, even though the item itself doesn't have taste. However, I think that there is room to be mechalik, and those that want to speak to me about this privately can speak to me about this, especially in situations where people are feeling weak and need to take vitamins for many reasons for health purposes. I think one could draw a distinction between vitamins that are taken for nutrition and just to add to the meal, and vitamins that are necessary for other reasons that perhaps could fall into the group and category of medicinal, like Rav Moshe says, by medicines. There was a question regarding plastic paper. There are some Pesach books that are saying plastic and paper have to be kosher lePesach. We do not assume like that. At most, the plastic and paper that have any coating are made of kitneous, and kitneous is something that we don't eat, but we are not as concerned. And actually, there was another question regarding kitneous that I'll get to in a second. Kitneous is not chametz. You're allowed to own kitneous, and we're not as concerned with the coating from placed plastic and paper items that you're going to buy for serving on Pesach. In terms of kitneous, because kitneous is not chametz, and many of our condiments and many things that don't have chametz, again, you have to make sure that you know the ingredients. If there's a taruvas chametz, if there's a mixture of chametz, so then it has to be sold. That is a problem. But if it's just kitneous, that we don't eat it on Pesach because it was part of the minug, that for two reasons the Gaonim and Rishonim developed to tell us that the reason why they asked kitneous, although it was clear in the Gemara that it's not chametz, is either because people will not be able to discern and differentiate between the grains of kitneous, between the grains of chametz and those legumes that are very similar and sometimes forming the same type of products, so people might confuse the two. And the other chash that the Rishonim point out is because it might just get mixed up. They're growing near each other, and you might have some that you might have some grain and some wheat that gets mixed up into the batch, and therefore chas v'shalom a person could eat chametz. So it was all later chashos that now Ashkenazim do not eat kitneos. Svardim do eat kitneos, but that does not mean that Svardim could be just, carefree about what the product is. You have to check, because a lot of these kitneous products are made on chametz de kekelim, and you have to get, before you eat kitneous, you have to get a psak that it is kosher lePesach. Being kitneous and kosher lePesach are two totally different shilas, and a person should make sure about that. If a person needs to be makel when it comes to their children for certain nutrients and certain things, children can have kitneous if it's necessary. You should consult me specifically about that if it's necessary. But kitneous does not have to be sold. Kitneous could be left in my fridge and even in the Pesach section of my fridge. I don't have to lock it up, and it doesn't have to be treated like the other chametz. That, similar to that, there was a question about the dishes. The dishes should be set aside. The dishes should have a siman on the cabinets to tape up. However, if it's a glass cabinet, I can see the dishes. There's no problem to see the dishes that are chametz dik on Pesach, and that would be okay. What else can we get to over here?
Just letting you know, Rabbi, we have about 13 questions that have come in so far.
Oh, wow.
That I'm keeping track of, so if you want to...
Okay, so let me stop. Let me stop and let's hear.
Okay. Going back to the beginning with the selling of the...
What about the beginning about the hachanas with the kids? Yeah.
You're getting there. After we buy the kelim back from the guy, do you have to be told that?
Yes. Yes. When that date will be, the Rebbeinu Shalom knows.
Gotcha. if you use your urn, if you use vinegar in your hot water urn to clean it out, because New Jersey water is gross, does that complicate the kashering process?
No, you just have to, the vinegar just makes sure that you need kashering, and make sure to kasher it, and do what I said in terms of the urn. That's again, just wait 24 hours. Run it through with hot water. It's very easy to kosher, and kosher it. In general, just for people to know, in general, there are different types of urns. Some people are machmir of Moshe, was not sure if plastic is something that you can kosher. In general, many people sometimes are machmir when it comes to plastic. I think that you can rely on those, even if you on those that are mako when it comes to plastic this year to kosher. So even if you have a plastic urn, I think that you can kosher.
Okay. And then in terms of the hot plate, So I guess there were two questions here. One is, how do you, I guess, to be koshering a, like a metal pan, a metal sheet?
I mean, a blech. Yeah, no, a blech's hard to kosher. That would need libun, so I wouldn't do it. Yeah. Hot plate versus, yeah.
Okay, and then some of the hot plates, the newer hot plates that are more technologically advanced, I don't know why, they tell you that you're not allowed to cover them. They're actually glass topped. There's a glass covering, and then it's, and they tell you don't put covers on it, otherwise it's going to mess it up or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's, maybe that's a, Ian, you know, Tzarech Ian for later. But that one. Water coolers and soda streams.
Water coolers, which is just used for cold, just clean well, and then you're fine.
Soda streams?
Well, explain.
Oh, the seltzer makers?
Is there heat? It's all cold? What is it?
It's all cold, but I guess maybe the trial is because some of them have flavoring, but I think you flavor it after you make it. You put it the bottle, you stick the bottle into the contraption, it puts carbonation in, and then after you take it out, then it you could flavor it or whatever you want.
So okay, I can get back to you on that because I need to see the ingredients that are involved in the carbon.
And they also have their own specific bottles. They're plastic bottles that they're used.
Mm-hmm.
But I get you one.
Okay.
Do you like seltzer?
I don't mind seltzer. It's not bad. Yeah. But if I could get the ingredients and what's involved in it, then I can give an answer because I'm not familiar.
Okay. And then what if the, I guess a follow-up to that, what if the hot water, what if the cooler has a hot spigot and a hot and a cold?
Okay, so if the hot water has a hot spigot, so it really depends. If you just use it for hot water, I don't think that you need it for hagola. Unless you're making something like oatmeal, that lechatchila we should try because the zeya could come up. Although it's not in a real contained area, so b'dieved, I wouldn't necessarily say that it has a full-fledged blia, but a person for Pesach should try to kasha that. So what you could do is you could try, if this is possible, person could do iroi, again, pouring. The best thing for iroi on any of these areas, if you have a kumkum, and you have it, it's sitting on the ala esh when it's in the platform, and then you just take it off and you pour it. So then you pour it against the spout, and then you have from the inside the hot water going through and clearing out. Again, not using it for 24 hours, and then running through the hot water through the spout from the inside. So then you fully koshered the hot, even a hot water cooler from the inside and the outside.
Okay, and then cleaning the water cooler just means wiping it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that really reminds me, Avi. I'll get back to you in a second. I don't want to lose my train of thought. When it comes to, there were questions about covering fridges and freezers. I think if you do a cleaning of the shelves of the fridge and freezers and the containers, you make sure that there's nothing physical there, nothing tangible there. You do not have to cover it. There really is not so much hot that's placed there. So therefore, I think you could be lax about covering the fridges and the freezers as long as you clear it out and clean it out. In general, for Agola, if this wasn't clear, a person always obviously has to make sure that anything tangible is not there. Even before, you know, you get to the 24 hours, you can't kasha something that has anything that's even rust. Even you have to make sure that it's totally clear in order to be kasherable, so all the surfaces are kashered. In terms of kashering, a person does not have to do the full kashering of the item in one shot. You have to kasher also handles of pots and vessels, but you can do it in more than one time. It's not like Tvilas Kalim. Tvilas Kalim in a mikvah has to be a full immersion at one shot underneath the water of the mikvah, whereas when it comes to Hagala, it could be one after the other, or the Iroi could be done in parts. You just have to make sure that the water was hot, was of the level that it has to be on every section of the vessel in order to accomplish Hagala. I got the question tonight about backsplashes, a backsplash of a kitchen. Again, I don't think just because it has the same tile as the counter that it necessarily has to be kashered. It really depends on whether or not you're going to touch kalim against that area and whether or not kalim do touch that area. There are many areas in your backsplash that I don't think do have anything to do with the kalim and don't touch it at all. So I don't think you have to kasher it like the rest of the counter that a person it tries to be machmir to kasher. In terms of roasted, the minig not to have roasted on Leil HaSeder. That minig is for meats and chicken. A person can have roasted vegetables on Leil HaSeder. Just to keep in mind, another question that came up, which relates to Leil HaSeder and Erev Pesach, someone sent me a picture of one of the boxes of matzahs, of egg matzahs, that the store was advertising, that this is good for children and for older people, and it's not good according to Sephardim, and it's good according to Ashkenazim. I don't know, I was all confused on what they were putting on there. It's the opposite, actually, in the Shulchan Aruch. But the point that I want to bring out is that a person should stay away from egg matzahs. Egg matzahs is a shaila. The Rama was only makel when it comes to a big necessity of people who can't have other things, and therefore you should not have egg matzahs the entire Pesach. Tonight I got the shaila whether or not a person should be machmir to have shmura matzah throughout Pesach. Dealing with what we're dealing with in terms of the kashrus side of things, even if this person wasn't necessarily machmir every year, so I would definitely not be machmir this year, but this even pertains to someone who tries to be machmir, I hope that we will not have a shortage of matzah this year on Pesach. So when it comes to shmura matzah, we should reserve it for people who need it for Leil HaSeder. Chalila, you should have a matzah that a person is trying to keep a chumrah of only eating shmura matzah throughout Pesach, and Rachmana Litzlan, a person can't even find his matzah to eat on Leil HaSeder because we bought so many matzahs and we have so much extra matzahs. If a person doesn't have matzahs, please contact me. I can try. There are some areas. We are connecting to some of the hotel programs. We might have some matzahs. If you're struggling to get matzahs and shmura matzahs, and again, if we run out, we don't know. This is right now what I'm talking about at this situation and time. Everything changes by the hours. There are things that are developing. So if need be, we'll talk about whether or not you could use machine shmura matzahs. But right now, a person should try to get hand shmura matzahs that are done. And I still think that they are available. If anyone needs help with that, please contact me. The matzahs should not be eaten on Erev Pesach. But that includes, and this is relevant for people who have not made Pesach yet, they usually eat by their in-laws or parents, and they don't have to worry about what to make on Erev Pesach. But that includes matzah meal. Those that use matzah meal on Pesach, matzah meal, although it doesn't look like a matzah, if it is baked and it's not cooked, so that would be included in the iser of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. So one wants to make sure that he doesn't make and eat those dishes that have matzah meal that's baked, that technically is a matzah, for Erev Pesach. Included in the bedika. So I got a question about bedika. A person should make sure not only to go to areas in your house that you were machnes chametz, but obviously a person has to check their cars, any area that they're going to use over Pesach. It's a good shaila. Maybe you could sell your car this year if you're not going to use it on Pesach. And pockets and any area that potentially could have chametz. Those of you that are not going back to your offices and didn't have a chance to do a bedika beforehand should do a mechira of Yud Gimel that you don't have a chiyuv bedika on those areas. So that is important. So we do have to make sure to add that in to our Shtar Mechiras, and that option, Emir Tzashem, will be on the Google Forms that will be sent to you. In terms of shampoos, soaps, most of the shampoos and soaps are nifsal me'achilas kelev, are not edible by a dog. There are a few. I think a vino is a potentially a problem, according to some poskim. There are some soaps and some deodorants and alcohol colognes and perfumes. That is a question among some of the poskim, because there is alcohol that could be revived, that technically Rav Moshe was choshish, that wasn't fully nifsal. So that is really the extreme of what you have to be machmir in terms of all of those products. All of the other products seem to be fine. And if you have any specific questions about products, that you can contact me and text me about, and I can share with you. A person should remember, especially in this matzav, that just like every year, there is a chiyuv of Moos Chitim, this year. I know it is difficult for some of us, but we need the Schus HaRachamim. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachmanus, which is going to be triggered by our own Rachmanus. That being said, those of you that, there are a few people that have contacted me that want to give Maos Chitim specifically to people who are struggling or in difficult in this predicament, please do not hesitate to contact me. I can only help you if you reach out to me. And if anyone needs extra help for the Yontif, please don't hesitate to contact me. And that also, if people have money and more people would like to give to that cause, you can also contact me and help in that way. If anyone is having difficulty preparing for Yontif and is just too overwhelmed with this whole cooking and arrangements, I know the Rebbetzin tried to make it and present it that it's simpler than we think, but it is still difficult for some. We did get some of the groceries and restaurants that are preparing meals that are Pesach in a box. If you would like to look into that, please contact me, and I can try to find out to connect you with the right people in terms of that. I'm not going to go into all of the shiurim and issues legabe Leil HaSeder because the hour is late. I just want to leave off with the following idea as we are coming to Yom Kippur Katan. Some people might even be fasting tomorrow. I don't recommend anyone who has any suffix in their health or the way they feel to fast tomorrow. However, I do think that everyone should be mishtatef in what the fast represents. The Gemara, the Rashi in the beginning of the Torah in Parshas Bereishis tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the name Elohim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu switches the way we refer to him with Hashem, Shitif Amo Midas Arachamim. The Aruch Liner points out that there's a Machlekes Tanoim, whether or not the world was created in Tishrei or the world was created in Nisan. So the Ran asked the Kasha, if they hold that the world was created in Nisan, so why is it that we have Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei? So the Aruch Liner develops a fascinating idea. I spoke about it, I think, in the shul in the past. But the Aruch Liner tells us that there were two levels of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and he wasn't chayzer in what he created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world on a midah and an approach of din, with the name Elohim. And we are in a matzav right now that there is din. There is din, it's clear, there's no question. And we need right now a Reish Chodesh Nisan. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mishtatif in the creation, a new level of creation, which is what Rebbe Lazar holds, which is Shitif Amo Midas Rachmim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a new level of existence, which is truly through Rachmim. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we enter into this new time, as we enter into this new zone of Shitif Imo Midas HaRachamim, even though Al Pidin, even though in the world of Tishrei, even though Rabbi Isai, let's not fool ourselves, this was a Gzeira that was now Nigzar from Rosh Hashanah, from the Yom Roim. You can't hide from it. This was a Gzeira that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. But now we have an opportunity to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachamim, for a new level of creation, for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The only month that is the Seda, Yud Kei Vav Kei Al HaSeder, if you look in the B'nai Yisachar Seder, we have different ways of writing Yud Kei Vav Kei. The only one that said Al HaSeder is the Chodesh of Nisan. Because the Chodesh of Nisan is the month of Rachamim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pshuto K'mashmo, made a new world. Even though we're not deserving, even though we have a din that was nigzar on us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could switch it in a second. HaPeshe Osru, HaPeshe Itir. Rabbi Sai, the most important thing on this Rosh Chodesh Nisan and this month that we're entering into is to make sure to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to actualize, to bring this into fruition, to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Yudke Vovke and has Rachmi Shamayim on Kol Amcha Beis Yisrael and Kol Cholim of the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings things Keseder, and that makes us make sure that we can have and Riroy for his Rachmanus that Nisan gives us this opportunity to. Rabbi Sai, it's a very difficult matzav, but we have the ability, we can never be miyayish. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to now have this matzav specifically of din to go in from the Chodesh of Adar into the Chodesh of Geula, into the Chodesh of Nisan of Yud Kei Vav Kei Al HaSeder. But we are in control. We have the ability to change the Gzeira. We have the ability to affect it through our Avodas Hashem, through our Talmud Torah. Rabbi Sai, we cannot ignore the responsibility and the achrayas that each and every one of us has for the rest of Am Yisrael, for the rest of the world. We have to be the ambassadors, we have to be the leaders, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to break the barrier of Shamayim. And Amir Tzah Hashem, we should be zeich with what this month is, with Yud Kei Vav Kei Al HaSeder, to Rachme Shamayim, and we should all be together in the shul, Amir Tzah Hashem, celebrating together on this Yontif of Pesach, bringing Mashiach b'mheira b'yameinu.
Amen.
Any other questions?
I got 17 others.
Okay. So I guess we're not going anywhere.
Especially if you ask them. If people ask them. Okay. Someone wants to know if they're not keeping a chumrah this year they would normally keep on Pesach, do they have to do a Taras Nedarim?
No, that was the Dalgam Revolver. That person came on late.
And clearly I wasn't paying attention either.
The Dalgam Revolver says that if a person, Bishas Adchak, which is what we said this year, has to now rely on breaking a chumrah. So as long as he's not doing it bekvias, he does it once, so then he doesn't need ataras nedarim.
Okay. If you're not kashering your sink because it can't be kashered, and you're putting an insert, so you need to clean out or kasher the actual sink before you put the insert in.
No, technically you don't. Make sure that there's no residue there, that it's not dirty, but I assume that the sinks are clean, and then you could put it in.
Okay. Do raw nuts need a hechsher for Pesach?
Do raw nuts need a hechsher for Pesach? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think this is probably on the video.
And they're probably going to be kidneyous anyways. So
right, I guess the non-kidneyous ones. Okay. Pot used to kosher oven grates, can it be a chametz pot? And oven grates, or anything, I guess.
Again, oven grates should not be koshered in a pot. Oven grates should be koshered in the oven. But in general, for koshering things that will be through Hagala in a pot, you could use a non-kosher LePesach pot, As long as it was not used in the past 24 hours. There is a minig to use a Pesach Dik pot, but technically the pot, as long as it is an Eino Ben Yomo pot, it could accomplish Hagolah.
No, I think you mean to kasher the grates when you want to disperse the flame, right? So in the video they put the pot.
To kasher the grates, you want to turn on the fire.
Right, and then you put a pot on it.
Now I understand. Uh-huh. So that pot should ideally not be used for 24 hours, yes. Doesn't have to be paste out there.
The sink racks that are metal but have plastic piece in corners.
Oh, good. I forgot to mention that. So again, that the question is because assuming that a person does not again, there's a machlekes whether or not we kasher plastic. Some rabbanim kasher plastic. Rav Moshe wasn't sure if you could kasher plastic. I think especially in this year, especially when you have such a when you have such a limited amount. If a person wants to kosher it, I think they can kosher it. If a person wants to try to be machmir about it, what they could do is they could wrap it in tinfoil so that nothing is going to touch it on those areas where the grate is touching the sink. So that's a way to be extra machmir for it if a person wants to.
Okay. Does the kumkum you're using to, I guess it's the same question. If you're using a kumkum to kasher, does it need to be kasher Pesach or just eino ben yomo?
Eino ben yomo is okay.
Can I kasher a high chair tray or does it need to be covered? We don't ever put hot food on it. I don't think covering would be practical. The kids would probably just be throwing it off.
Okay, so make sure to clean well if there was no hot on it. If you can cover it, cover it. If you can't cover it, it's okay if you clean it well. Make sure you also clean the seat. Make sure you also clean the seat and other areas, not just the tray.
Right.
What if there had been hot on it?
If there is hot on it, so then it's going to be the same shiloh of koshering plastic, which again has its different approaches on every year. And then this year, so then a person should... Could do Eroy on it because at most it's going to be, again, you're not going to be able to kasher it in any other way. So even if there was a hot, Yad Soled Esbo item on it, I find it hard to believe that's the case. But even if it was, because it's going to be, I think you should do it with Eroy. And even on the tzad that the Marashal holds that a dover gush that's hot that was placed on an area is dino kikli rishon, but over here, how else are you going to kasher it? You're not going to be able to put it into to do hagala unless you can fit it into a pot, but I find that to be hard to do. So I think the best you can do is to try to do iroi and be yotze at least the ikradin. If there was hot food on it, I would really try to find out a way to cover it. Because it's very hard to really kasher it completely. If you can't kasher it, so then I would do Eri, like I'm saying. But a person who really thinks that they put hot Yad Soledes item on their high chair, then you should try and cover it and find a way that the covering will stick. Tape it a few times.
Imagine your kids if it's that hot.
What?
Well, imagine for your kids if it's that hot.
Yeah.
Okay. This is probably a bigger topic, but children's flavored medications.
Oh, so children's flavored medications, please contact me. There are certain ones that are a problem. There are certain ones that are a problem all the time. There are certain ones that are a problem on Pesach. Off the top of my head, two companies that I think they are okay, some of them. I don't remember which one is which. There was Motrin and Tylenol. One of them is cherry. One of them is bubble gum. If you need details on that, please contact me. And both of those items are also good because they're vegetable glycerin. They're not animal fats, which is good for the rest of the year as well. Advil, to the best of my knowledge, I think is problematic in terms of chametz. And you should try to get those two... those two items, in terms of Advil and Motrin, I could try to see if I can find it. Okay, we'll get back to it. Text me in terms of which one's bubble gum and which one's grape and cherry.
Okay. If you're not planning on using kitchen counters during Pesach, can they stay uncovered?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're really planning on not using it, if there are not going to be pots that are going to be placed there, so then there's no chumra to cover.
If I bought a Pesach...
Oh, that reminds me, again, tablecloths, covering that you use for the tables, you do not need to buy new ones. You just have to wash it in the washing machine, and then it's good to go. So people do not have to buy new tablecloths for Pesach. Yeah, Avi, sorry.
No problem. I bought a Pesach toaster oven. If I don't plan to put food directly on the racks, do I ever have to plan to tovel it? Just plan to keep food on foil or tins. I guess that little shelf.
A little shelf, and you're never going to use it.
You never actually put food on it. There's like a, you'll put in an aluminum foil first and then put it on top of that.
Yeah, but I would, I mean,
it's like, it's like a regular oven. You ever put food directly on the racks in the oven?
Right, but over here it's a kli. It's not like a regular oven, so I would still try to do, you know, something that I would do by mechanical kalim for the rest of the item, because you're using the heat in the whole vessel. But yeah, technically, if it doesn't touch, then it doesn't need tefillas kalim. But yeah.
Okay. Going to the two questions related to the alcohol usage of in stuff. Is Purell an issue of chametz?
No.
And then these diffusers, the smelling things that people put around the houses, that may or may not have alcohol in them. No, not an issue. Okay. Okay, what's going on here? Okay, is there going to be garbage with chametz in the morning? Which we'll talk about. I have the answer to that question.
Reminds me, beer or chametz. I don't imagine that there's going to be a regular beer or chametz over here, but at the same time, I don't recommend that. I think Eli Hershkowitz is planning on having it, but again, I don't want people congregating, and I want people to stay separate. So whether or not, let's just say like this, Avi and I have to discuss this. If we do a drop off, again, it has to be in a way that people are not going to congregate, and that is one option. If we end up not doing it in order to just make sure that people stay separate, so then we could rely on the Ikar Adin. Again, this is a Shaset Chakir, that if I do not recommend that people make fires in their own homes, you rely on other methods of destroying your chametz, whether it's flushing down the basics of 10 chal, you know, 10 pieces of bread down your toilet, your Mekayim Tashbisu with that. Again, a person should try to limit how much chametz they're going to have in order to be Mekayim Tashbisu, and you'll get rid of it prior to this with some Eitzah that we're going to have in terms of the garbage option. We'll try to get back to you in terms of if we have a communal pickup that's off your premises. We do try on a regular year to have the garbages off your premises in order to make sure that it's not in a chutzar on your property. But if we don't have that ability, so we'll try our, well, you know, then a person should just try to be mafkirit and leave it for pickup if that's not able to be arranged. So we'll get back to you in terms of that. But in terms of the classic beer, if we don't have an Eitzah for a Sreifa, so we still have the Ikar Adin, that Hashbasa and destruction works b'chol davar. And it could be thrown into the wind, it could be thrown into a pond, and it could be flushed down the toilet or disposed in other ways. That reminds me, I got another Shaila about Erev Pesach, about the Siyam and Tainis Bechayrim. So we are going to be Makel this year, Mirtz Hashem. Hopefully, I'm not sure who's going to do it. That's something we have to get back to. But I'm sure they're going to be major Siyumim all over, you know, spread on every WhatsApp and the internet. So you can be Yotzei Asiyam via teleconference or Zoom. Just like we're having a shir and we're Yotzei Talmud Torah through this. So we can be Mishtatif in the best way that we can in terms of Asiyam for that.
Do you have to clean outdoor garbage cans that may have leakages from, like if you're, you know, the one out, not the one in your house, hopefully that doesn't have any leaks, but the one outside.
No, I think that you're yoytze with the bittel, and a person's not going to go in there, and he's not going to use it. And I think you're if you think it's not nifsal, so then make sure to pour something on it. You don't have to clean it to make sure that it's nifsal if you're chayshish for it. But any residue that's on it, I don't think that you have to be concerned about.
And if you have bottles in your recycling can that might have had you know, bourbon, scotch, or any chametz items that are in the recycling can, and obviously we're going to try.
No, I think it's all hefker. Even if it's on your property, I think it's all hefker. I think it's okay.
Okay. Okay. We talked about seeing for tinus, burning chametz, Purell diffusers. Last two questions. What's the shear for Maos Chitim?
A person should try to give what he can. There's not a specific limit on in terms of Malos Chitim, and not a specific shear. A person could try to give that people should be able who can't buy matzahs to get matzahs. But Kol Amarba is a Meshubach in terms of that. But a person should also make sure that everyone is in a specific situation and it might be limited, and he should only make sure to give what he can and not to be mevazv is too much if it's going to put him in a difficult predicament.
Right. And there is bottle pickup on that side, on the shul side of Saddle River Road that morning, Erev Pesach, if anybody is interested for bottles. But we're going to probably have a place to throw everything out anyway.
But again, even if we do, we're going to have to make sure to be responsible in terms of making sure that there's separation.
What happened last year can't happen again this year, everybody. So we're going to hopefully have a bigger place to throw it out. But just leaving garbage on the floor by the shul is not an option.
Especially if it's going to be in an area that we're worried about a Chilul Hashem.
Correct. Okay. And then there was a Shaila about... that Rav Shechter put out a tshuva being mafkir kalim.
Yeah. So Rav Shechter put out a tshuva being mafkir kalim. I think Rav Shechter was suggesting that if this is going to be too difficult, I think even the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, when a person is stuck erev Shabbos, suggest that a person should do a mechira and not be mafker. That's not suggested. Not that hefker doesn't work, chalila, and like Rav Shechter is saying, but if this is possible and able to be done, I think that it would be even recommended by Rav Shechter. I just think that he just thought that it was going to be difficult. So we pretty much arranged the system and we set it up that it's going to be simple in terms of your involvement. You only have to list your kalim and fill out the form, and the kinyan is going to be done without you. So it'll be sent to you, and it'll just be the press of a button. And Mechiras Chametz really will be simple also this year. There is some additional boxes that you have to fill out and check that is not on the regular box because we don't have the opportunity to meet together and to do a kinyan sudr. And that Kinyan Sudr is Mechazek the Kinyan and makes it into a serious Mechira, which is very necessary. It's very important to have full intent when you sell your Chametz. It's very important to have full intent when you're Mevatel your Chametz the day before. That's probably nothing, no questions came up about Bittul Chametz, but probably the most important halacha, Legabe all Chametz Shailas, is about Bittul, and to make sure that I actually understand what I'm involved with more than kashering any pot or more than kashering anything else, because I'm actually taking care of chametz that's around, that I have a chiyuv to be mevatel and to annul and to understand what I'm involved with. So make sure you take that seriously and make sure that you check off the boxes that I have serious intent in terms of the mechira over here. Because we are limited this year, we're not going to be able to do a kinyan chalipin that we usually do with the pen or the handkerchief that we do on a regular basis. Important to remember that Erev Tafshilin has to be done this year, which I'm sure we're going to send out in terms of just a reminder before Yontif. And we'll see. Maybe we'll have another one before the Seder to talk about the Inyanim of the Seder and maybe some ideas about the Seder. And I think that's it. Avi, you're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay. So, anyone who has any other further questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. And if anyone needs any assistance, please also don't hesitate to reach out. And Amir Tzah Hashem, we should be zoicha to a month of Yeshuas, of Rachamei Shamayim, Amir Tzah Hashem, of the Chodesh of Nisan, and we should never see a tzara and all go b'kibbutz Golias, Amir Tzah Hashem, with the Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mheir b'yameinu.
Amen. Shkoyach.